From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, presented by
Vitamin Energy.
The vitamins.
The energy.
Now here's WarChant.com's Azlan Hajivandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! It's Wake Up WarChant, presented by Vitamin Energy. Coming up on today's show, folks don't want to go to the SEC, folks don't want to go to the Big 12. What a time to be alive. So what do we do? Would Florida State be getting more hype if Cam Ward was in Tallahassee right now? And we get to the rest of the questions on the Renegade Express mailbag. Wake up, WarChant, presented by Vitamin Energy, vitaminenergy.com. Promo code Corey.
WarChant BOGO.
Buy one, get one free, everybody. You're like, they're still doing this? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, buy one, get one free. 260 milligrams, all natural caffeine, no sugar, nutrients, vitamins, all in one little shot that is clinically tested and clinically proven to obviously enhance your energy, but also your focus, your mood, your immune response, the pump in the gym. Corey, I've been starting some creatine over here too. Too soon to report any gains, but I'll keep everybody abreast if they would like to know. But head over to Vitamin Energy in the meantime, everybody. WarChant.com, the ultimate seminal sports source. Won't you hit the thumbs up, 5-star rating and review, subscribe. Camp's almost here, Corey. I was kind of whimsically looking out the window earlier on Thursday afternoon and being like, man, like it's really the teeth of the summer. I need to soak this all up and enjoy it before the grind starts again. Then I looked at my calendar on the wall and I'm like, oh my gosh, like camp is here in like a week and a half, 2 weeks. A little bit shook, a little bit rattled. Like it's here. But you know, hey, rock and roll. This makes everybody happy, so it needs to make me happy. So I'll be happy. Are you happy right now?
Yeah, I can't complain. Okay. Middle of July in beautiful Tallahassee, Florida. How could you complain about that? But yeah, I camp. It always sneaks up on you, but especially when you're playing a week zero game.
Tell me.
And it's like, man, it's gonna be, what is it, 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
From camp, like less, legitimately, less. Like right, less than 2 weeks. Yeah. That's crazy. Like late July, they're gonna be practicing. So that's awesome. But it is a slap in the face of reality. Like, yeah, man, you're going to start waking up at 7:15 in the morning again.
Yeah. Rock and roll. All right, we'll stop playing the violins. Oh, we got to get to the rest of the question on the Renegade Express. But I didn't want to touch on this real quick, Corey. We probably should have brought it the other day, but again, this is my fault for not bringing it up. But I don't know if we can call him friend of the program anymore. He's a couple unresponded emails away from just being that guy, Ross Dellinger. But Ross Dellinger, Yahoo Sports, was over at Big 12 Media Days, which they went ahead and did theirs earlier this week. So they're already starting football over there in the heartland or whatever they're calling that part of the country that's crisscrossing through the Big 12 footprint. But I was talking about Clemson ACC realignment stuff, and you know, got some people talking on the message boards. It sparked discussion, I guess you could say. But yeah. He talked about there's like three outcomes, the ideal outcome for Florida State and Clemson to a lesser degree because we don't care about them as much. Obviously, Big 10, SEC. One of the other options was the Big 12, which, you know, got some groans from a lot of people like, what, we're doing all this just to end up in another second-tier conference? And then the other option he talked about was possibly reworking, reimagining something in the ACC where it would be maybe lesser teams. You maintain the same level of revenue that you're getting from your television contracts, but you start pushing people out the door so you get bigger pieces of pie. And I feel like that should have been the bigger groan than going to the Big 12, if only for the fact of if you are in the midst of litigation with this entity, but somehow the door might be open to stick around and reimagine some stuff like that. To me, that was the most deflating thing of Ross's revelation. What did you think of that three option sort of menu he laid out?
Well, and he said that, you know, Florida State and Clemson have been talking like as a plan B or C is to go to the Big 12, and I'm with the groan there because there is no difference between the ACC and the Big 12 revenue wise, which is what this is all about, right?
But if you join forces, we bring cachet. Clemson brings cachet.
Yeah, but the difference in what you're getting from a TV revenue standpoint is marginal, right? Mm-hmm. You're still going to be way behind the teams you're trying to compete with. And the teams you're trying to compete with aren't Texas Tech and BYU. So going to the Big – and it's worse for your fans. Great, man. We got to go to Waco every other year. In Manhattan, not that Manhattan. So that doesn't seem like a – that would be a big thud and that would be the worst of all scenarios, in my opinion. Like, why do all this to go to the same conference? Why take a step sideways? Except it's not a step sideways. It's a 1,000-mile, 2,000-mile step sideways where you have no – like, I get it. We make fun of the ACC all the time, right? With good reason. These fan bases are ridiculous. But Winston-Salem isn't that far away. And I was there yesterday – or last year, I'm sorry. Yeah. I wasn't there yesterday, thank heavens. I was there last year. There, half the stadium was Florida State fans. What scenario could you envision, even if Florida State's having a magical year, where half the stadium would be – half the Kansas State stadium would be Florida State fans?
Well, what about UCF, though, buddy? They're in the Big 12.
That's true. You got that game. You got that national rivalry. Yeah. So at least it's on the Eastern Seaboard, the ACC.
Right.
So if you're gonna be in a mediocre conference, a less-than conference, be on one that's like near – closer to home for your fan base. The vast, vast, vast majority of your fans and alums live on the Eastern Seaboard. Don't go start kicking cottonweed in Texas, in Kansas, and where else is the Big 12? Ames. Orlando. Who wants to be in Orlando? Yeah, Ames. Provo. Yeah. Come on, man. Nobody wants that.
Boulder. So, Tucson.
Sure.
Tempe.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, man.
A-Train and C-Dog in Tucson, buddy, in Tempe?
Yeah,
I'm there.
Yep, right. So, yeah, you get to go to Arizona and Colorado. Awesome. Yeah. As opposed to, whatever, Miami, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Boston, North Carolina, every other tournament, every other, postseason tournament. So I would be very, very, very disappointed. To the point of thinking it's almost a dereliction of duty if Florida State sues the ACC to get out of this conference if their landing spot is the big FN 12.
Yeah.
That would be ridiculous.
What about suing the ACC just to stay in the ACC?
Well, that's crazy too. But if you sue the ACC and they're like, okay, what is the ACC now, 14 teams?
No, man, like 16 or 18?
The California schools, that's right. So I'm looking at it. It looks like the ACC makes this is a number I saw on the internet, in an ESPN story, $706 million total. That's split up, I guess. We'll say that's going to be split up among 18 teams. So that came out to be $45 million roughly a team. Now, remember – the teams in the SEC are going to be making $80 million or $90 million, but Florida State's at $45 million. Now, if you get rid of eight of those teams, then all of a sudden you're at $70 million. Mm. If you get rid of 12 of those teams, you're at like $67 million. Well, that's competitive, right? That's in the ballpark. So if that's an actual possibility to tell Pitt, I don't know, who do you tell to take a hike? Boston College for sure.
Syracuse.
Syracuse, Duke. Those are my top three in that order. SMU, Cal, and Stanford. Get out of here. We don't want – it was a joke. And we can't believe you fell for it.
Psych.
Go try to start another Pac-12. Then I think you're talking about that to me is a much more agreeable scenario. If you can – now, hopefully this is all nonsense. Like, they're going to be in one of those two conferences. We all think that. We still think that. But if that doesn't happen, I think a lighter ACC – with some fat shedded, could be manageable. Instead of making $40 million less than your counterparts that you're trying to compete for national championships with, you're making $15 million less. So you're not the Oakland A's. You're the, the Braves. Like, you can compete for championships. You really can't when you're the Oakland A's and your payroll is one-eighth of what the Yankees is. But when you're three-fourths of what the Yankees is, you could compete. And I think that would be much more,
palatable
than the Big 12.
All right, let's move on to these questions. Renegade Express, 8th Gen Knoll. Is that even possible? Can you be an 8th generational Knoll?
Yeah, I mean, the school was around. It started in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It had to be a mom or a mom or grandmom going to school there,
Yeah. Wake up. Your favorite boys are almost back. Been noodling a scenario about quarterback transfer options this year and the perception of FSU in the press. If Florida State had picked up Cam Ward instead of Uwe Ungalale, would Florida State have been as hyped up by big media as Miami is right now? or would they have leaned more into the negatives of Cam Ward as much as they are leaning into the positives now that he's in Coral Gables? And also, do you think Norvell likes taking on an underdog mentality to not have the high expectations on the team and just trusting the process? He feels like after the big win over LSU last year, feels like the team could never live up to the hype. That might have affected Jordan's mood. Seemed to be forcing things a lot. I personally do think that the press doesn't give as much credit to Uwe Ungalale, but that plays perfectly into how we like to play our game.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Cam Ward has proven over the last 4 years or 3 years. Well, I guess 2 years, honestly. Yeah. He was at Washington State for 2 years.
Well, it was pretty. Was he there 2 years? I thought it was only 1 year. I thought it was like Incarnate Word and killed it in Incarnate Word.
I think he played D1 football for 2 years. I could be wrong. He obviously was better last year than DJ. If you look at numbers anyway, was a better quarterback.
There. 2 years in Portland.
And totaled a lot of touchdowns. So I don't think it's just necessarily like, I don't think they're 1A and 1B. They might end up being. But through the course of their careers, especially the last 2 years, and last year they were both in the same conference, through the course of their careers, I think Cam Ward is a step above, not only in perception, but in production, than DJ is. That does not mean he is going to be worlds better than DJ in 2024. He might not be any better at all. DJ might overtake him. But I don't think that's necessarily like a media bias thing. I think that's just they look at the numbers and saw what that kid did the last 2 years at Washington State.
Yeah, 27 touchdowns total for DJ last year, 33 total touchdowns for Cam Ward. Cam Ward, 66% of his passes completed. DJ, 57% of his passes completed. No, I think if Florida State would have landed.
Different offenses, you know, different offenses too. But, yes, Cam Ward has been a very productive college quarterback.
Yeah. No, I think if Cam Ward, which was Florida State's first option, we strongly have data almost that leans in that direction. I think if he comes to Florida State, I think there's much more buzz around Florida State. And if anything, there's much less buzz around Miami, if that's what's kind of grinding
correct.
Your gears more than anything. So, yeah, I don't think if Cam Ward was here, I don't think he'd be poo-pooed upon to pull back from a previous episode. I don't think the media would be like, Florida State still, you know, they're a one-year wonder thing or anything like that. I think they would be even more invested in the thing that Florida State could keep rolling if they had Cam Ward. Because, like you said,
it'll be interesting with Cam Ward, because to go from Incarnate Word to Washington State is one thing. To go from Washington State to that cauldron he's been thrown into, where the expectations are always through the roof and they're always disappointing. It's going to be
sarcastic
unique.
About the cauldron down there.
No, I mean, like, there's a lot of pressure, and it starts right away the first game. But there's a lot of pressure on that kid to be the savior, quote unquote, to be the guy that gets them over the top. And by, I mean, over the top, I mean to a ACC championship game. And, you know, you kind of toil in obscurity in Pullman, Washington. And I have no idea where Incarnate Word is. Is that
somewhere
Canada?
Somewhere in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going from obscure. Like, how many people have watched a Washington State football game the last 2 years? Not many. Maybe the one against Colorado. I think they played Colorado. Yeah, they must have played Colorado.
Everyone watched the Apple Cup because they were rooting for them to beat Washington. They almost did, I think.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, but that's it. This is a whole different ball game for him. So let's see how he handles it. The kid from Houston handled it well until he got hurt. We'll see how Cam Ward does with it. But, yeah, Cam Ward's a good quarterback, man. He is probably the best quarterback they've had. Boy, I don't
Brad
know.
Brad Kaya?
No way. Hush your mouth. Didn't they have a Kirby? Kirby Freeman.
Kirby Freeman, yeah.
Yeah, probably since Kirby Freeman. Or the kid
Brock
that
Berlin?
Florida State sacked 12 times. Kyle Wright.
Post Ken Dorsey, it's gross. It's
Derek King might be the best one they had.
Well, yeah, and that 1 year, and it was him and Van Dyke that, like, you know, split duty, yeah. Right? Because he went down and Van Dyke came in. And they still didn't even come close to making it to Charlotte. So,
nope.
Maybe this is your year, Miami. Maybe you guys will
yeah,
be.
Yeah, could
back.
Be. Odds are it isn't.
It's not.
Just
yeah.
from going on history, but yeah. maybe it is.
Island Chief, wake up. I appreciate the top 40. I can almost hear Casey Kasem leading into the players as they are announced. Moving up from 18 all the way to number 7, here's Josh Farmer with, I want to crush your hope.
That's a good idea. We should do that.
Yeah. Top 40, when you include a couple kickers, doesn't even cover the two deep. What players do you think are most likely to end up in the top 40 by the end of the season? I think Byron Turner might be a regret. Smooth sailing, Corey. Make friends with a dealer. They know the whole card.
Hmm. Well, that would be, yeah, that would be nice. I never even thought about that. You don't want to get, they don't want to lose their job, though. And I'm not going to be in a high enough roller table where they're going to be like, yeah, this is worth it. This guy will take care of me. I'm going to be playing $10 hands. Yeah.
Who are the guys that missed the cut? Sean Murphy, okay. Byron Turner, Robert Scott, Brock Glenn, Ashlyn Barker, Jackson West, Omar Graham, Darion Williamson, Aaron Hester.
Maybe Jackson West.
Okay.
He's the first one that pops out to me there because I do think he's going to play a lot. He started playing at the end of last year. He is a more physical presence than Morlock. I think they will use him a lot in blocking, you know, as an inline blocker. And, you know, he's a good enough athlete. I think he can make some plays in the passing game. I don't know if Landon Thomas is ready yet to be able to be on the field a lot. Jackson West will be on the field during some critical plays. So maybe him. Or Robert Scott's not a bad guess either. What about you?
You did have Landon Thomas ahead of Jackson West on your ballot, BTW.
Hey, nobody's. Hey, he's just saying. I immediately regretted it. Immediately regretted.
Because I remember you like giving me grief about not having Landon Thomas on mine. Because yeah, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen at tight end. We'll see how it goes. But that's a good pick. I do like Aaron Hester. He's intriguing. But you know, I had Elijah Moore. Tom and I both had Elijah Moore at number 40. And after hearing him speak on Wednesday, I'm gonna put my chips on him. Because otherwise I'd probably take Byron Turner from that litany of guys that had, like, you know, others receiving votes. Because
Aaron Hester is not a bad guess either, though. Yeah. That's not
Turner,
a bad pick.
But Turner's like legit second teamer, right?
Yeah.
You think so.
He was last year.
Yeah. And I mean, I know Lola Hay is probably going to be like the first off the bench for, you know, Marvin and Peyton. So, but yeah, I mean, Byron's not that far off of it. So I probably would go with Byron Turner is probably the right answer, but I think if it's Elijah Moore, I think Florida State's probably having more exciting football games and more success.
Yeah.
That's one man's opinion on this thing. Moving along here, knocking out the rest of questions again, Renegade Express mailbag. Somebody was asking in the comments on YouTube the other day, you don't have to be a gold member of warchant.com. You just got to be a member of the site and you can post questions in the Renegade Express mailbag and then we'll get to it. Long one here from last week's winner of sparking discussion, or rather generating discussion sparked by Cummins. Whack169, hey guys, hope all's well. I know this is long. If you don't feel like reading it, that's cool. I just got a little hot under the collar listening to Corey last week.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
All right. Thanks for the content.
Is it about Lake Lanier?
One question, one comment. Question, since you guys are at practices so often, what's the reason that you think Deuce Spann hasn't done anything as a receiver at Florida State? Okay, that's the question. All right, here's the Corey umbrage.
Can we answer that one first?
Sure,
though? To me anyway, this is just my observation. He still angers the coaches a lot with maybe not being where he's supposed to be all the time. And there's more to being a great receiver than just straight ahead speed and height. Like there's some guys have innate ability to come out of a break faster, to get their head up sooner, to get free quicker, like to get loose from a quarterback. There's just there's intricacies of the wide receiver position that, like, I mean, you know, he's as fast as Rashad Green, right?
Faster, probably.
Probably faster. Yeah. And he's taller, bigger, weighs more. He's not close to the wide receiver Rashad Green was. And that's, you know, Rashad Green played receiver most of his life. Deuce Spann just started a couple years ago, and it's not that easy a transition. It's not just, hey, you're big and tall and can run fast, get out there and catch balls. He's competing against better receivers than him right now, guys that have been playing it longer. And he's still, I think, learning. I know it's weird because it seems like he's been here forever, still learning the position. That said, he looked better this spring than at any other time in his career. He's still somebody that you don't even really – he's kind of an afterthought on the offense anyway. But I did think he looked better at receiver this spring, which is the natural order of things, than any other time in his career. And he might be ready to take that step and be a dependable receiver.
I can't add any other context. That was great. I agree.
Thanks,
with
buddy.
The comment. Last week, Corey was talking about joining the SEC and how the snub happened, but down the road, a few years, we should be able to move on because of all that money. I wanted to write in and say that I will, in all caps, never get over what happened to the team. Call me petty. I don't care. FSU is not Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, and we finally had a chance to play for a title, and that chance was stolen. How do you know that Florida State will be in that position in the near future? We may, but no one really knows. I know the retort is, how do you know that FSU won't be playing for titles in the near future? And I don't know. What happened that day changed a lot of things in my mind. My hatred for the SEC is never going away. ESPN stole that chance from Florida State and what those players did, and I will go to my deathbed, all caps, knowing that if Jordan Travis did not get hurt, FSU wins the national title last year. I watched the last three games. None of those teams looked unstoppable. I think Jordan would have been turned loose to run in those games, as we saw in the fourth quarter versus Duke. Screw the SEC and screw ESPN.
Hey, trust me, I'm with you. Nobody was more anti-SEC. I would go on record to say in the last decade, no Florida State media member has been more anti-SEC than me. You don't want to cut off your nose to spite your face, man. If in 10 years, it will always hurt. You'll always be bothered by it. But it's like, I'm trying to think of an analogy. Like, you're
getting a lot of alimony. You're hurt. That sucked, the divorce, but like, you got a lot of money now. You don't have to work.
Okay, that's not where I was. That's not quite the road I was going down. I was going to say, maybe you meet your perfect girl. I'm speaking as a male talking about the opposite sex right here. You're 19 years old. You're in college, first or second year of college. You meet a great girl, an awesome girl, that you kind of fall for very quickly. Y'all go on a couple of dates. She then breaks your heart and says, my old boyfriend moved back in town. I still want to see how this goes. But she's perfect for you in every way, and you know it. But your heart is broken. You meet up again in a hotel bar 9 years later. Neither one of you are married. She still looks awesome. Do you then say, no, you broke my heart when we were teenagers. Screw you. I don't care if I'm screwing the rest of my life up by not exploring this. I'm still so mad at you that I can't date you.
Yes!
Oh! All right,
That's the best metaphor maybe in show history for our program.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. So I guess I'm saying the SEC is that hot girl at the end of the bar, hot woman at the end of the bar, drinking a scotch by herself, and you're like, wait, I know her. That's the metaphor. That's the analogy. Like, don't. I get it that you're mad. And I still sometimes think of my high school girlfriend and what she did in our stupid, tumultuous relationship and get angry about it. So it's not like that even goes away. And I haven't seen her in decades. So you're always going to have a tinge of like, man, this is awesome. We're getting all this money. But golly, 2023 sucked. And I'm never going to forget it. But again, if you're better off. So you might meet up, you might go with that girl. You might marry her. You're going to have three kids and grandkids and live a great life. Once every 6 months, you'd be like, really, Jeremy? Like, Jeremy? You left me for Jeremy? And then you'll be like, oh, and you get over it and you go, back to your yacht. So that's where I think the analogy is.
Well,
trust me, I don't like it. I don't like the thought of being in the SEC right now. I'm still angry. I'm kind of just thinking, 2031, 2029, what is best for Florida State University? And the snub will always be there, but being in the SEC would be mighty nice compared to where they are now.
Well, he talks about the Florida State's not, these, I don't know, blue bloods. And we finally had a chance to play for a title that was stolen. How do you know the Florida State will be in the position in the near future? We may, but no one really knows. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're in the SEC, you're going to have enough money to know that you will always have the opportunity to compete, to be in that mix. So
I feel like the SEC is straight up, especially now with the 12-team playoff. It literally is like the NFL in the sense that every single NFL football fan goes into the season thinking their team can make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not that it's guaranteed. Maybe the Chiefs know they're going to be in the playoffs, but nobody else is guaranteed of being in the playoff spot, but they know they got a chance.
Right.
That's kind of how it is with the SEC besides Vanderbilt. Everybody knows if we win nine games, we got a real chance. Like, it's on the table.
Yeah.
If you're in the SEC, as long, if you're in the SEC and care about football, you are going to have a chance to be in the playoff each year. Some years you won't be there, clearly. They're going to be down years. Some years the Packers don't make the playoffs. Some years the Falcons don't even make the playoffs. But every year is a new year, and every year you will have a chance to reset. And, again, you get to 9 wins in the SEC. You're probably going to be in the playoff or at least right on the cusp.
Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachia Parkway. Daily lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Might even be someone of the fair gender sipping on a scotch at the bar, even during lunch hours there.
Yeah. One that broke your heart back at Piscataway High. But she's right there, and she's single, and she regrets it. It was a dumb thing for her to do, but she was young and didn't know any better.
Piscataway High, I like that. Strong reference there, Corey. We're from Tally to Cali. It's a real thing, everybody. 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., only $8.99 for your daily lunch special. On Fridays, they give you chicken strips in a basket. They're hand-breaded. They'll either toss them in a sauce of your choosing, or they'll give you the dipping sauce on the side because they care about your preferences. What do you want to watch on TV? We'll put that on for you. That's what they do. It's a Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. It's 2475 Appalachia Parkway. You can check out the entire menu over at cptallybar.com. And I'm going to assume live music this weekend, Corey. Rocking.
Yeah, and I actually know the name of the band. It's Tom and the Cats.
You always
old
know them.
Staples.
Are they near and dear to your heart? Because I feel like they're the only ones that you always.
They're the only ones that I think put their signs on the doors.
Smart.
At Corner Pocket. So I see it, and I'm like, oh. And in fact, I met the lead singer. I assume his name is Tom. A couple of days ago, and he's a big fan of the show. Which was cool to hear. So he's going to be there. Obviously, he'll be there singing. I assume he's the lead singer. I guess I shouldn't assume that. He's in the band, though, and they're going to be there Saturday night playing 80s and 90s covers, typically.
Nice.
Some rock, some country. What you'd want. The people that are going to be at Corner Pocket on a Saturday night is what you want to hear.
Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, 2475 Appalachia Parkway. All right, we got like one more question, then a couple off topics. So let's get to the one that's a little bit more sports-centric. Corn Tater, wake up. Who's on a faster track to win a national title first, Mike Norvell or Kalen DeBoer? Mike's going into year 5, established culture, really building from the ground up, or first-year coach, keys to a Cadillac program, resources, and conference. If the carousel rumors were true, then they were both candidates for the same job. And I guess the true measuring stick is who can win one first. Thanks. I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think it's.
He's
I don't
got a five-year head start on him.
But I also don't think that's the measurement. Like right now, clearly, man, I'm not. I hope I don't anger anyone. And I don't think Alabama deserved to be in the playoff last year, obviously. But Alabama is the better program than Florida State. We can agree to that, right?
I don't know. Without Nick Saban.
But
being
I'm
there.
Saying that it hasn't been proven what it is without Saban yet. Yeah. I think when we have this conversation in 2026, I won't say that. But right now, going into the 2024 season, with all the accomplishments that Alabama football has had over the last 15 years, that is a better program. Still, I don't know that you can just judge straight up on who wins the national championship first. I think it's who's got the better program in 3 years, 2 or 3 years. Because, yeah, man, right now, Norvell should have. I think Norvell's team is better this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
You know what I mean? I do think Norvell's team is better this year. Will it be better in 2 years? That's I think, the judgment. But I wouldn't say that the national – because what if Alabama misses, you know, goes 8-4 this year, 8-4 next year, lucks into the playoff because they're allowed to, and goes on a run – 3 years from now. Meanwhile, Florida State finishes top 4 the next 3 years. I don't know that you'd sit there and say Alabama's the better program just because they won that national championship that Florida State didn't, but I get that we're at Florida State, that's kind of the ultimate measuring stick. But yeah, I will be surprised if Alabama is as good a program as Florida State in 2026. I mean, the guy's got to prove it, man. Nick Saban isn't normal.
Right.
What he did the last 15 years is not normal. There is supposed to be significant step backs. There are supposed to be ebbs and flows to this thing. And He didn't have any. He didn't have any ebbs, I guess. Is ebbs the bad, right?
I think.
Ebbs and flows.
Flows like it's going outward. Ebbs is like coming back. So yeah.
So he's had some. He didn't have any ebbs. Last year was his ebb. And then Auburn let him complete a 4th-and-30 pass where Herbstreit put on all of it's still making me mad. I'm right. I would not talk to that woman at the bar. I was wrong all along. I would not talk to her. I'm still mad about it.
All right. Speaking of that, Gator Kirk, wake up. Project Gal, get Aslan a lady. Corey and I met.
Could be another L.
Yeah, for me, all lots of L's. Corey and I met ours on Match. So far, not the same results for Big Aslan. What activity sites would be the best for you, Aslan? Mine would be pickleball. It's a very social and athletic endeavor. Age groups are from, his words, not mine, cougars to kittens. I know in my area there are leagues and open play in the evening. By the way, a five-year-ago lady is still available. Shoot your shot again. Go Noles. Yeah, I don't know where, like, honestly, I should meet a woman at the gym. Problem is, I don't like going to the gym during peak hours, which is when all the ambitious, you know, grown-up women are at the gym. Is like between, yeah, you know, 5:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., and I have no desire to be in the gym during those hours. And I've been at my gym in those hours, and my gym just attracts a different kind of demographic, I guess. I'd have to go to one of the gyms like on the north side of town. I don't want to drive.
Might be worth it.
Yeah, it might be though. It might be, but that's probably the best kind. Or like, really, it'd probably be like a CrossFit gym because those are smaller, and like, you know, if there's 15 people in a class, you know, there's like, you know. You know, it's like half and half. It's almost like, all right, like you, I feel like those are a little bit more expensive to join. You're a little bit more dedicated and focused. So you probably have like a more of a type A personality, which works better with me. So I should probably do like a CrossFit kind of gym and then hope that I bump into a single lady who's working out there. But yeah, I also don't want to spend like $75 on a gym membership. So good reasons, things I should do, but I'm not going to do because I'm stubborn and I have weird predilections for how I want my day to play out. So, but I appreciate Gator Kirk the inquiry.
I would say Leech. You could always go to Leech, Aslan.
Listen, you joke.
That was a joke. It was a joke.
When I moved back here for the job in 2018 for this job, I actually did get a membership at Leech Center, not because I wanted to socialize with the clients there, but I'm just like, this would be kind of funny, like full circle moment in my life or whatever. And it was so ridiculously crowded. I mean, there was literally a deli counter line to get onto a flat bench press. It was absurd.
Don't do that.
I have a gym bag. They would come and be like, sir, you need to move your gym bag. And I'm like, what? Like, you're like, no bags allowed on the floor. It was very, very strange. But I love the indoor track upstairs. That was awesome. I do miss that. But I don't know. Maybe I'll look into some pickleball stuff. But I say this when I go on dates with other women and whatnot. But like this, when you get to a certain age, it's like, all right, you're going to be married, you're going to have kids. And then if you're not, you need to figure out these other ways that Gary Kirk's trying to brainstorm onto it. And I'm not that guy. Like, I'm not going to join a beer league kickball team and like, hey guys, like, let's grab some beers after our kickball game on Wednesday night. I'm just like, I don't know. I played beer softball with my buddies after college. That was really fun, but it was all my friends. And I don't know. I miss all my friends, and I'm not good at making new friends. So I don't know. I'm going to get a Russian mail order bride, probably, everybody. So keep those super chats coming and we'll make it happen.
Oh, that's a good idea. Man, that'd be cool. Another addition to the War Chant family. That'd be nice. The first lady of War Chant.
Last one. Cola Noel 95. Wake up. I think Corey is really overthinking this flight to Dublin outside the sleep medication. Oh, which, by the way, sidebar, Corey, a lot of people did not like our conversation. You did tell me to strike it from the record. I did not strike it from the record. We got a lot of law abiding citizens out there, a lot of anti Mike Gundys listening to the program. Right. Anyhow, outside the sleep medication, I also think that
People take Xanax. They're mad because we've taken Xanax, or that I would take it from someone.
Yeah, you don't have a prescription for it, and you're taking it from somebody who does. Which is like, case, your wife. In my case, it would be my mother. Like, we're not out here robbing people to get money to buy control.
And if we were, it's none of y'all's business.
Amen, brother. Don't tread on me, everybody. Yeah, keep flying them flags. All right, outside of the sleep medication, I think the Corey needs to make a playlist of some of the greats to help pass the time. Maybe some John Denver, Otis Redding, or even Leonard Skinner. If nothing else, try to distract yourself by watching some highlights of one of the all-time greats and one of Jeff's favorites, Roberto Clemente. On a serious note, what is your favorite travel snack? On a plane, I'm always pretzels and ginger ale. I get mildly nauseous on a plane, just mildly. The ginger ale settles it down. Pretzels also help out a bunch, too. I'm not a big drink on a plane guy. Last time I did that was actually like 2000. Like last time I got drunk on a plane was actually for my cousin's wedding. That was not great. But before that was going to the Boston College game in 2005 with my buddies. And I was an absolute mess. So I don't recommend doing that. But yeah.
I drink, the last time I flew out to California, which was my second to last flight overall, that was for the Oregon game. Yeah, I must have had 12 McUltras, 15. Yeah, it was crazy. But I wasn't stumbling. Back then, I could handle it better. I was a little bit bigger. And then on the way back is when I got, the Xanax. And I was told to take it 30. I got two. And I was told to take one 30 minutes before boarding. And then halfway through, if I got anxious again, to pop the other one in. And on takeoff, the turbulence is so bad and the plane's shaking so much that luggage starts falling out of the rack.
Oh, wow.
Onto the ground. And so I popped the other one in there. And that was a flight I don't remember for sure. But, interesting about what he was saying about the people that all died in plane crashes. Although John Denver, I think, was like a single-engine plane. All of those guys actually were kind of like those were prop planes. Those were not jetliners. Mm. So there is a difference. But I was talking to Brady. The song American Pie came on when
Don
we were
McClane.
Eating. Somewhere. And he goes, isn't this about – and I can't remember what he said. What did he – oh, he thought it was about the Hindenburg. And I'm like, you think this guy wrote a song about a German blimp? Now, it did crash in America. And a lot more people survived the Hindenburg than died.
Right.
It was only like 60 people – I shouldn't say only, but like 60 people died, but 300 survived. Some crazy number like that. But
and yet dirigibles are no longer looked upon as
just one crash, one hydrogen just blow up and all the humanity. The guy says, the humanity, and they were like, we're done with blimps. You can't travel with them. But so I was telling him, no, man, American Pie isn't about a blimp. It's not about the Hindenburg. And he even knew the name of the Hindenburg. He's like, was that about the blimp that blew up? And I'm like, no, it's actually about three really famous rock musicians in the late 50s. Richie Valens, Buddy Holly, and the Big Bopper, who were on a plane and died. And then that was funny that just came up. And then when I went, I think I might have told this already. I can't remember how many times I say these things. But at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they have a whole Otis Redding wing.
Pun intended.
They got the wreckage from his plane crash, and that's on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I would not agree to that if I was the Redding estate.
Also, it's kind of morose, right?
It's very morose.
Where's his guitar, his shoes? Like, he was only 26, I think, when he died, or 27. He was, which is crazy, because you think the guy that wrote Dock on the Bay was 50, and he was in his mid-20s. But, that would be like going to the Baseball Hall of Fame and seeing Roberto Clemente, pieces of his plane crash. Like, why did we want to celebrate that? I just thought that was really bizarre that they had the Otis Redding wreckage as one of their memorabilia pieces in Cleveland.
Wow. No smooth segue to say goodbye into your great, hopefully enjoyable weekend, everybody. But it's that time of the day. We're done.
And no shows next week, or if you do any, they'll be with a pinch hitter, right?
Oh, I didn't even know
because
that.
I'll be on the high seas, yeah.
I mean, you've got cell phones out there. You've got Wi-Fi.
That's true. I do. I could give you updates on what's going on in that crazy ship we're going to be on.
Yeah. We'll get player interviews next week, but otherwise, assume it's probably not going to be a crazy week of stuff for us to drop a show. But I'm here. Ira's here. Matt Lasser's somewhere. Michael Engson's here. We've got bodies. Maybe we'll bring Tom back. Like Tuesdays with Tom or something.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Get ready for the football season. Get all warmed and lathered up. Get some takes from our guy up in the big city. So, yeah. Also, we've changed podcast providers. Probably should have said that at the beginning of the show, but hopefully nothing's really skipped a beat. I think the only thing that might have been different is if you listen to our show directly in the actual thread that I pin atop the tribal council every day. There might have not been an embedded player, but we're going to have the Spotify one up there. So that should be able to be functional for you. But yeah, probably no shows next week, maybe one, but we'll see how it all goes. Corey, have fun out there. Try not to, I mean, I'm so proud of how you've like transformed your body and your life. It's going to be tough, man. There's temptation everywhere. It's just nonstop food constantly. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant of the opposite sex.
Nah,
I'm
man.
Like, Stephanie's going to be with me, weirdo. I'm not going to be tempted.
No. Just your body's a temple. Remember that, man. Just say your body's a temple, man. Keep it clean, man.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. He's Corey Mazlon. Thanks for listening to another week of Wake Up War Chant presented by Vitamin Energy.